Yes, Mick, thanks very much for coming on, mate. I appreciate it.
No problem at all, mate.
Still looking great, by the way. Still look exactly the same as I remember you. Same Barnett, still got the eight all over.
The Barnett will never change. Barnett will never change. I'm not into highlights or anything like that. It will stay as it is. So.
Get some like this.
But at least it's still there.
Exactly.
A lot of folk that I'm playing with, it's disappeared a long time ago. So.
And at the coaching now, mate, how are you enjoying it?
It's been good. It's been good. I'm thoroughly enjoying it. It was the right time for me to retire from playing. You know, I think the manager came with an opportunity for me to take the 20s at Motherwell with Crags and take the under-18s at our place as well. So, no, I'm really enjoying it. It's good,
mate. Well, just back to you. Your start in at Celtic, picked up by John McStay and Hugh McGovern, was it?
Yeah.
How was that coming through the ranks at Celtic?
It was great. You know, we were at a time where there was a lot of good players coming through, but it was we always felt we were the kind of my age group the year below and then getting into your age group. That was the kind of last of the kind of old school kind of initiation, if you like, coming through where you had to clean the boots, you had to fill the bath, clean the water bottles, everything, you know, which I think's changed drastically between now and then, but it's an upbringing that stood me in good ground for the future.
Who was some of the boys you came through at your age? Who was it, Kendall, John Kennedy?
John and Sean were the year below me. My age group was Tony McParland, Simon Lynch came through at that time. But I was the only one that came in. I came in at 15, so I came in for my kind of under 15 team. I was the only one that came in at that time, and then the boys who were older were Jim Goodwin, Liam Keogh, Liam Miller, then Mickey Doyle came in, Ryan McCann, Kev McBride. So it was a real good group to be involved in.
And that first team had some characters. How were they with the young boys?
No great. They used to terrorise us every single day. Like I said, Clarkey always wanted the good workers, so I was based at the park all the time because he could basically get you working constantly. Cleaning boots, training boots, scarifying boots. I remember saying to one of the young kids at our place to scarify, they bought me my boots and they had no idea what I was talking about because it was a metal brush that we had to clean the bottoms of the boots, everything. But it was brilliant. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
So who had been the first team at that time when you were coming
first
through?
Team, my first day, I remember leaving school. My last exam was the day Scotland played Brazil and France 98, and then the next day I went in full time. And the first team then, because Dan Jackson, Tom Boyd, Paul Lambert, Jackie McNamara, Craig Burley, I think they were all with Scotland. So I remember going in the minibus and I was absolutely petrified. It was Malky Mackay, Brian McLaughlin, Reggie Blinker, Colin Healy had just come in at that time. So real, real good characters, you know, and as a young kid, you don't want to say anything because I was only there to pick up the water bottles and put the markers down. And then I was lucky enough to stay there for a lot longer.
Obviously, Tommy Burns was there at that time. Yeah. How influential was he bringing you through? Great guy, wasn't he?
Brilliant, absolutely. You speak to him all the time. He epitomised the culture of the football club. He probably created the culture of the football club. And I was already when Tommy came back. I think Kendall Gleish brought Tommy back in, and I was in my last year at under-18s then. So Tommy never had a great deal to do with me day in, day out at that point, because it was always the kind of younger ones, yourself, Aidan, Darnell Day kind of thing. But he used to join in when I was in training sometimes, and he was absolutely brilliant in training, just full of life, full of character, but coached you at the same time, which was brilliant. Willie McStay and Chris McArthur were two coaches at that time, and Tam came down and helped out a bit as well, and was absolutely terrific. But then he had a massive, massive influence on me when I was then in the first team under Gordon, and Tommy was a first team coach.
Getting into the first team, when did you start training with the first team and you realised you had a chance of making it?
I remember one summer actually, the first team played Hearts away, and I was a left-sided centre-back, so I was fortunate enough, I always played, whether it was in the youth team, whether it was in the reserves, I always played. And I remember away at Hearts, and I was the only one that was a regular in the reserves, it was never in the first team squad, and I remember being absolutely devastated and wanting to know why. So I remember going out to speak to Kenny McDowell and he was busy for whatever reason. Then my contract was up and I went in to speak to Martin O'Neill. They went and offered me a new deal and I went in and told him that I was wanting to leave. And he was kind of shocked, but that was in my mindset. I wanted to go and I drove by the training ground and just by chance, I went in and I seen Kenny was playing head tennis with all the boys. And I went in to say, cheerio, that's me away. And he pulled me in and was like, what do you mean you're going away? You're not going anywhere. So he was like, get your dad in here tomorrow. And so if it hadn't been for Kenny McDowell at that time, I probably would have left the club, and he made me stay, and I stayed that year. And that summer I realised that, because the manager pulled me in, Martin pulled me in and said, look, I can't guarantee you're not going to play in the first team, but I can definitely guarantee that you might not, it's up to you. So I had an idea that I was progressing quite well at that time, because I was a late developer for it. I never made my debut. I was 20, so it was interesting at that time.
Was it because it was St Mirren? Was it St Mirren you were going to go to? I remember.
I was going to sign for St Mirren in the first division at the time. Uh-huh. The money wasn't a problem because I was on absolute peanuts and I was going to sign for them for even less money, but I just wanted to play at that time. So Kenny advised me to stay, and then I ended up playing that for the summer to the Christmas, and I had the opportunity to go to Spurs and I had the opportunity to go to Derby, and I'd spoke to them, and then I think Martin got wind of that and then pulled me up with the first team.
Wow. And how did you find out with the first team? Obviously some big characters, eh?
It was a steep learning curve. Mm-hmm. As you know, you're playing against Marcel and John, and you're playing against Henrik and Sutty and Big John, and they absolutely battered us every single day. Where there wasn't a day that went past where we didn't get an absolute tanking.
Did they put bits on you,
eh? They did, aye, you know, but Henrik was the one that was just different in a different league. You know, I remember training one day and everybody stopped and applauded him because he scored a goal that I've never seen anybody score. He was world class. Henrik was absolutely world class, you know, but I was always the type that tried to give as good as I got. I felt I had to be physical, and you try to be that. I was that way all the way through my career, and I was probably more so as a kid because you want them to respect you, and I felt the best way for them to respect me was to be aggressive with them.
So you would put on them in training, huh?
You had to, you know, it was sink or swim, because every day they'd done it to you, because like I said, Big John was great to play against, but Big John quite liked the physicality. Henrik, you couldn't go within 2 yards without Martin O'Neill screaming, "Nobody touch him, nobody touch him." because he was incredible. Henrik was absolutely fantastic as a player, as a guy about the place. He was terrific.
So see Hartson and Sutton, when you were up against them, would they say you could do this better or that better?
No,
they wouldn't. Just let you get on with yourself.
Let you find out for yourself. There was no coaching involved, nothing. It was a case of sink or swim, and you had to analyse things and find a way to get the better of them. And I think I'm still looking for a way to get the better of them now, to be honest.
Because it was top defenders, wasn't it? Mialbe, Valhan and Bobo.
They were
was
the ones
frustrating that, trying to break through into.
I think when you looked at them, you know, you looked and you thought, physically you can't compete with them. They were grown men, they were in the peak of their career, and I was 20 at the time, maybe 21, so I was still developing, and like I say, but I felt as if I had to always be resilient, and I was always, because I was, even though when I was younger, people realised you were a good player, but you were never the one at 16, 17 that people looked at and went, he's going to be a superstar, within the club, within the other players, so I knew that I had to be resilient, and I had to do things my way. Uh-huh.
So your debut then, can you remember the week leading up? Did you know you were going to play?
I can,
aye. Hibs, was it?
Hibs away, and it was funny because all the way through my career, when I was a kid, my dad and my two papas went to watch me everywhere. My family, both sides, are big Celtic fans, so they went everywhere, watched me up at Strathpeffer in the reserves, playing there in county, and my papa passed away on the Thursday, and I made my debut on the Sunday, so he never ever seen me playing for Celtic, which was strange, because I remember walking into the dressing room at the time and there was three strips on the wall, so there was obviously, then I think it was five subs, so there was 16 strips, then there was a space, and then there was the three strips, which was mine, Kevin McBride and Aidan McGeady's, and then there was a space, and I remember the three of us kind of walking in and saying, you wonder who's not going to be stripped today, it's probably going to be us three. So I just sat down, and Martin O'Neill at that point, the way he addressed his teams, you know, he just read you out by your surnames and then we'd walk out. So I remember sitting, and I was sitting next to Big Kendall at the time, and the Big John, and he read out the team and he went, I think it was Douglas, McNamara, Varga, Kennedy, McManus, Petrov, Lennon, Lambert, whatever. And I remember just thinking, saying, I turned around to Big Kendall straight away and going, did you say my name? And straight away, I can't really remember the warm-up. I was petrified because I didn't know who I was marking at set pieces. Steve Walford came round, and again, just in quick as a flash, went in the right-hand side, first man, second man here, third man here. No set pieces up in the wall, and I was absolutely petrified.
Did you take any in?
Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
No.
Nothing. And then again, even the warm-up, I'm saying, Kendall, where am I playing? He's like, did you read out fourth? And I said, aye, you're playing at left back. Never played at left back in my life.
So you never even knew where you were playing?
Never
or anything,
knew where I was playing. And then I came in for the warm up, and then Steve Walford came in and was like, look, Mike, you're playing here, this is where you're doing it. And it put me at ease. But that was Martin's way, and he was absolutely terrific. He's the one manager that I've worked under that when he walks into a room, he's got a real presence and a real aura about him. And from that, it was me off and running.
Do you think the way he is, it's just basically sink or swim? Go, it's up to you now to do
it. I think so. I think it's like anything, you need to earn the manager's trust. Mm-hmm. And back then, like you say, there was no coaching For us, we were well coached under Willie McStay and Kenny McDowell, which was great. That gave us the educational background, if you like, and tactically we were pretty switched on. But you were learning off guys like Lenny and Paul Lambert and Sutty and Big John, Alan Thompson every single day. And to be fair to the defenders, Johan, Bobo, Stan Varga, they were always the ones that would try and talk you if you needed to do anything better. Apart from that, the rest of you, you had to get up to their standards.
Can you ever remember being a young guy and they went through there because they could be ruthless, couldn't they?
I remember coming on against Shakhtar Donetsk in the Champions League. This was a year after, and I remember it was a Wednesday night sitting on the bench next to Stephen Pearson, and Jackie went down injured after 20 minutes. And I remember Martin saying, right, Mick, you're going on. I'm saying, so again, on at left back, which was never my preferred position, but I'd have played anywhere for the first team and for any manager I've worked under. And I remember we got beat 2-3, and I remember sitting after the game thinking, God, I was just playing the Champions League. I'm used to watching this in the telly, and family are going to be so proud. Martin O'Neill came in, and I thought I was just waiting for him to say, and well done you, your Champions League debut, well done, you've coped all right. Never said a word. We then flew back, then the next day we're in the video, doing a video analysis. And you can just get a feel when something's coming your way, and Martin just pointed the finger, and I could just feel myself sliding down the chair straight away. I'm going all the way down, and he just said, what are you doing here? You cost that goal. And I remember thinking, saying, I thought I'd done all right. But I got absolutely grilled. And again, that's a time where you need either sink or swim. And I took the positives out of it. And that's when you need to be resilient. You need to make sure you don't show any weakness. And you learn from it, and that's what I tried to do.
I think Lambo was, I always remember Lambo was really good with you, wasn't he?
Lambo was great with me.
So after stuff like that, would he come and say, didn't I worry about it, or would they not really do that?
Lambo was great. Lambo was really, really good with me. Even now, you could pick up the phone and he would always time for you. I think he enjoyed the fact that he didn't need to drive to training. He used to always come and shout me to drive him to training, but I loved it because it was somebody that had played at the top end, and I was always asking questions about everything. For me, that was the best way to learn. So Lambo was absolutely terrific for me. And like even now, any time I'd see him or that, he's still the exact same.
What about Big Sutty? Because he used to slaughter us when we were younger than you. Was he the same with you?
He was the exact same.
Give you a few shouts?
He was the exact same. Big Sutty, if Sutty didn't like you, Sutty never spoke to you. It was as simple as that. If he had no time for you, he never spoke to you, which I had no problems with. But Sutty was a top player. You know, I remember one time he said before training, you know, it was like the big laugh and whatnot, and it was a really infectious laugh. But he used to say in training that he was going to only play with outside his left foot, and he did. He used to spend the full training playing with outside his left foot.
Brilliant.
And that was just him. But the way he is just now, he was the exact same as a player.
Was he?
Exact same as a player.
The 2004-05 season, obviously Celtic lost the league.
Yep.
Did you then think, this is my chance now next year to cement my place?
No, I never. At that time, Lambo pulled me in one day after training. And he was like, look, what's your plans for next year? And I says, look, I'm 21, 22, I need to be playing the first team somewhere. And he says, look, I'm getting the Livingston job. He said, so I'm wanting to take you and Sean Maloney and loan to Livingston. And I told him how much money I was on, and he nearly fell off the chair because he how little money I was on at the time. And he was desperate for me to go there. And Gordon came in, and I remember thinking, Gordon's first meeting, he came in and said, look, there's six players that have carried this club for the last 4 or 5 years. He says, and they're the players that I'm going to go with again. So all those young players at the time were sitting, there was myself, Stephen Pearson, Sean Maloney, Ross Wallace, Ed McGeady, you're kind of sitting there going,
same old
stuff. But I performed quite well in pre-season. I never played any pre-season games under Gordon. It was the last one. We were playing Bratislava on the Wednesday, and we played Leeds on the Sunday, and I played in that, and I done quite well, and I think that was the first time that he kind of took notice and thought he might be able to do a job. And the game in Bratislava away was the defining moment, certainly in my Celtic career.
Talk us through it. So you start the next game against Motherwell, 4-4. Talk us through that again.
I remember being so emotional before it. That was the one game that I thought, this is my full career, not just my Celtic career, is riding on this one game. I remember on the Friday, Tam Burns came up to me and said, look, manager's going to start you. And I'm saying, really? And he said, he's going to start you with Stan Varga. And I'm saying, great. So straight away, I was emotional then, and I'm saying, this is my full career's on the riding on this one game. And I remember after about 2 seconds, the ball went in there and I've had a chance to go up for the one the header with Jim Hamilton. And I remember absolutely smashing him and thinking, I can't believe I'm going to get sent off here. And the referee, I think he booked me for it. So straight away, I'm saying, that was me walking a kind of tightrope. Because like I said, I was aggressive when I was younger, probably too aggressive. You were rash. And I remember after the game thinking, I don't believe it. I've just played in a game that's conceded 4 goals. The first game of the season, we've just lost 5 goals in Bratislava. I get my opportunity and then that's me definitely going about the team. So I remember being absolutely devastated that night after that Celtic game.
And did Gordon Strachan say anything to you after the game?
He pulled me on the Sunday because it kind of kicked off a wee bit in the dressing room between Lenny and Bobo. And to be fair, Bobo, who was on the bench at the time, Bobo stuck up for everybody. I never said a word, but Bobo had a right go at everybody because he was very much, it's always the defender's fault, it's always the... Mm-hmm. So Bobo kind of stuck up for everybody that played that day, which was brilliant. Mm-hmm. And then Gordon, in his typical fashion, the next day, we were in doing a recovery session, I think it was the Hilton. And he walked past me and went, "You all right?" I'm fine, Gavin. I went, "Good, playing again Tuesday." And I'm thinking, what? And that was it.
That's what you get from it. Playing next to Big Stan Varga must have been a good laugh, eh?
Aye, but it's like, Stan was really good as well. Quiet, you know, but when Big Stan spoke to you, he kind of took notice kind of thing, you know. And then he never played against Bratislava in the home game, and it was me and Bobo that played, and then that was us for the remainder of that season.
What was Big Bobo like to play with? Great guy, wasn't he?
Brilliant,
Bobo?
Absolutely brilliant.
Gentleman, wasn't he?
Still in this day, I've never seen anybody lose the plot the way Bobo did in the dressing room. Big Sutty, Tomo, I think Big Magnus, I think they all tried to control him. I think the first team played Hearts at home and they lost the game. It was the year that we went to Ibrox. It was Helicopter Sunday, that campaign. And I remember after the game, Stan Petrov coming in and give Bobo absolute pelters. You know, it was your fault, they lost the game. I think they were 1-0 up and they lost the game 2-1 or 3-2. And Big Bobo just absolutely went berserk and Tomo jumped in the locker to get the rhodium, he flung Sutty off the treatment table, Big Rab, he'd done the same, absolute units, and Big Bobo was losing the plot. So you wouldn't have messed with Bobo, definitely no.
Was he a good defender?
He was. Bobo's really aggressive, he's the best I've ever seen in there. You couldn't beat Bobo in there.
How would he cope now with teams having to play? Would he struggle then?
Bobo would find a way. If you're aggressive and you're a dominant centre half, there's always going to be room for him.
Rocky start to that season, obviously. Yeah. For what turned the season round? Because you went on to dominate that year.
We did, certainly. I remember after this first game, after the Aberdeen game, or sorry, the Motherwell game, I think it might have been Dundee United.
Right.
And I think a big factor, Nakamura signed.
A player,
I really think that was probably the defining moment for us, because he just suited how we played. He drifted off the right hand side, but he had absolute class and quality. Because I remember looking at you know what it's like when you play, so the first thing you look for is the first Old Firm fixture, and I remember sitting there thinking, am I going to stay in the team until, if I can just stay in the team to Ibrox, and then if I can do that, I've earned the manager's trust. And I think it was maybe 7 or 8 games in. And then I managed to stay in the team for there, and that was us.
How good was Naka in the box, isn't
that? Unbelievable. Best I've ever played with.
Is he the best you've played with, is he?
I wouldn't say Henrik's the best I've played with.
Right, okay.
Even though I never played, I was never a regular when Henrik played, but you were with him for a year and a half. But Naka was incredible as well. You know, he's best left foot I've ever seen.
Remember he used to stick his wee translator in goals.
And then he used to stand putting one arm there and one arm there against the post, and he used to put it into the top bin every single day. Brilliant. And I think Naka could speak English. 100% he could speak English. And I remember him speaking to Big Jan one day about, because Big Jan was always doing the press, and Naka used to say, can't speak English, you know, so he wouldn't need to do the press. But 100% he could speak English, absolutely no question about it.
Did Lenny in that no give him a snus one day?
Lenny gave him a snus in the Christmas party and he had to get dragged out of the De Ragaz restaurant with his wee legs getting dangled.
His wee translator, oh, brilliant. Roy Keane joined in 2006. Yep. What was your experience?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant, inspirational. And again, he really took to the culture of the football club at that point. And when Roy came in, the kind of standards just went up. He's the one player that I've played with that set unbelievable standards. And we only played him for a short period of time because he retired, but he could have played for another 18 months easy. I think he was worrying about his hips, but he was fiery, he just oozed class, he was in the gym every after. He was the first kind of experienced player that said to us, like, come on up the gym, let's go. And we just followed him. We used to badger Roy every single minute. Again, like myself, Stephen Pearson, Ross Wallace, Aidan McGeady, Sean Maloney, Beaks. Well, we're always badgering them. What was this one like? What was this one like? What was Ryan Giggs like? Can't and Roy took the time.
And he would tell you everything.
Everything, brilliant. Mm-hmm. But I remember one time in training, it's with Mark Wilson. I don't know if you know, obviously Mark's was really quiet as a player. And we were training one day down the back at Barrafield. And it was teeming the rain, you know, the surface was really, really slippy and whatnot. And Roy went and received, somebody played the ball to Roy, and he's went to receive it in a half turn. And Willows went to press him, but when Willows pressed him, he's lost his foot and he slapped him, scudded into Roy, caught him in the midriff. And the full session just went absolutely silent. I just kind of looking as if to say, what's Roy? And there's Willow up saying, oh, Roy, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry, kind of thing. And Roy just dusted himself kind of down. So training continued. Somebody played the ball to Willow played it back, Willow then get it back, and then the next time Willow got the ball, there's Roy. Roy just came from nowhere and absolutely smashed him, and there's Willow flying in a heap.
I'm all right, buddy.
Just ran back up. So Roy was, you could tell he had that fiery streak, and then after it, we were in the dressing room. You know, young kids, and you're sitting there saying, no, Roy, Willow's a man for you. Willow sorted you right out.
Brilliant.
And he loved it. He absolutely loved it, but he was brilliant. And even now, I bumped into him a couple of times, and he always takes the time to come and speak to you. Mm-hmm. A real top player.
Do you know what I liked about it? Wouldn't matter if it was the young boys or the older boys, he would get on everyone, wouldn't he?
Everybody the exact same. I remember a fan saying to him, myself, Aidan and Roy were walking out the main doors at training one day, and there's a Celtic fan comes up and he's like, oh, Roy, how you doing? He's like, Aidan, going to take that picture of me and Roy. So me and Aidan are kind of standing as if to say, we're Celtic players as well, you know. And he was like, no, Roy. He says, no, look, take a pic, get somebody else to take a picture, and get a picture of the three first team players. And Roy said, you were just like, aye.
And Nora as well.
Aye, brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
You remember his debut at Clyde?
No.
Was it big debut? Were you playing?
I played, aye. Aye, again, mental. You know, one of my best mates was playing that day for Clyde, you know, it was just incredible. It just shows you cup upsets, you know.
Anything can happen.
Aye, anything can happen.
That next season, 2006-2007, yeah. An influx of foreign players, I think it was Jarasek, Gravesen. What was there, a feeling, everyone, that you could make a mark in Europe that year?
I think so. You know, I think we had, like I said, we had went the first season, certainly Gordon's first season, where we never had a distraction in European football, which helped us massively, because there were some of us that were now regulars. We'd found our feet in the first team. We became a big, big part of the football club in the first 11. So that gave us the confidence to go and really have a go in the Champions League, because when we're sitting playing before the Champions League games, you've always got that wee seed of doubt to say, can you really cope at this level? And it was brilliant. The players that came in, Tommy Gravesen, Yuri, Big Jan, big players, you know, and Lenny was still there at the time, which certainly was a big help.
My favourite Yari Jarasek tournament, I remember. So you remember how you see at lunch, just one flight of stairs up? Remember, I was injured, so I came at the physio room, went up to go up the stairs, and big Yari just finished training with his Gucci bag across his head. Instead of walking up one flight of stairs, mate,
and left
up to lunch. Big lazy bastard.
He was. I remember playing at Inverness, and it must have been maybe the second or third away game of the season. And I goes out, and Yari was just in front of me, and then we goes out to warm up, and as we run out, you know what Inverness is like, you go out and there's no stand, uh-huh. So you've only got the stand to your right and the stand to your left. Uh-huh. I don't think so, I'm not sure what it is, uh-huh. But that side, but there's no stand, there's just a wee TV camera. Uh-huh. And I remember Yari turning around to me and saying, where is the stand? And I'm saying, big man, this is welcome to Scottish football, this is kind of how it goes. But Yari was a real top player as well, you know, really good both feet, just so laid back, but... that was just his style, but a real good character.
We need a story of you, a Tommy Gravesen story, mate. It's a favourite on the show.
Tommy's absolute mental.
A mad one, isn't it?
Mental, but actually I bumped into Tommy in Vegas and my stag do. Me and John Kennedy and I went to Vegas for stag do, and we bumped into Tommy Gravesen there, and he was doing the exact same thing. Tommy had this thing about if we went for a night out, so you're standing, lawyers are drinking bottles of Peroni or Budweiser or whatever it was, you know, and Tommy had this thing about holding his thumb over his drink. So we were kind of standing, kind of thinking, we're sitting my beer, and everybody was kind of looking as if to say, what? So Tommy would take his thumb off, drink his beer as quickly, and then put his thumb back on it. So we'd say to him, what are you doing that for, Tommy? Relax, you're coming a beer, I've won in the Saturday or whatever it is, I've never had a game for another couple of weeks or whatever it was. And he says, oh no, he says, somebody could spike my drink. And we're sitting there saying, Tommy, look, I think you're all right, mate. I think you might be fine. You're out with us, kind of thing. We've got security guys there. And in Vegas, done the exact same thing when I was standing there with the thumb over the and a Bill Barry drinking his beer.
I was going to ask you, were you there when he, did he not dunk Elvis at a cool down and Elvis cracked?
He was, Tommy was the strongest player I've ever played in. So Tommy used to hug people and not let them go. And it was really awkward at times, so there would be some people would be like, and Tommy's saying, Tommy going to let us go? And he'd be like, no. And you could not move him. Mm-hmm. He was the strong as an ox.
Character, wasn't he?
A real character.
Got done the Old Trafford opening game of the Champions League. Did you feel hard done by that game? Penalty, wasn't it?
It was, I think it was at Giggs that got filled by Big Arthur. I think it was soft at the time. Listen, I remember that game really well, because that was our first Champions League game. That was my first start, and you were going into the game playing against the best team in England at the time, and you're saying, how are you going to compete? And Naka scored an unbelievable goal, Big Jan scored a really good goal as well, and I think Tommy Gravison, I think he made a couple of, certainly a third goal, I think he misplaced a pass, and we get done. So, but that gave us a real belief that we were good enough to compete individually and collectively as a unit.
How good was Strachan before the games? Making you believe you could win them?
I think all the managers that I've worked under, Si, you know, the managers that have made an impact on me are the ones that calm you down before a game, you know, because certainly in the bigger games that I've played in, I've been lucky to play in quite a few, it's you need brought down rather than getting lifted, you know, and I think that's a small thing that make a difference. If you're too emotional, like what I touched on in my first game of that season at Motherwell, if you're too emotional, you'll let people down, and you need to be ice cool. And Lenny used to always speak about that when we were younger, about how just you need to be controlled, you need to be aggressive, but doing it in a controlled fashion.
You had a wee spat with Lenny that game. Yeah. What happened there?
I've no idea. That was a common theme with everybody. At some point, there was always, I think it was just because the two of us were desperate to win. Lenny was a brilliant captain, a real, real good leader for us at that time, and he was demanding, and that spread towards all of us, because you were, I always felt as a player, you want your teammates to respect you, and you only done that by doing your job to the best of your ability. And every time I pulled on any jersey for any club, that's what I tried to do.
Because I always remember that team, there was always fights, wasn't there? Arguments and fights. Always. But is that a sign of a top team, you think?
I think so. I think it's people that care. You know, it was.
Wee Scotty was always in as well, wasn't he?
I don't think Scotty was there at that point. I think it was at that point you had figures like Magic and Yuri who were extremely laid back. Big Jan was laid back. Naka was laid back. It was all the continental players that were very laid back, and they must have come into your dressing room and thought, these crazy Scottish guys doing shouting every 2 minutes.
What about turning the Champions League? How good are they nights, especially at Celtic Park?
It was the first time I remember kind of being involved. I say this to people all the time. Martin Hill kind of put Celtic back in the European map. I remember going to the games and watching when Miller came on and was unbelievable against Anderlecht, and it was brilliant. They were the nights that really kicked everything off for us, and I just wanted to be a part of that. You know, Liam was a big, big part. I've said that a few times, that Liam was the inspiration, certainly for us as players who were, even though Liam was only a year older than me, but he was the inspiration to all of us that went on and played in it, because we've seen the impact he made.
And was it as good as you thought, the crowd?
It was, aye, it was. You know, there were like no other games that I've ever experienced, and even now when you go back as a fan, they're absolutely terrific. And the other games that I feel really thankful, and I'm grateful to the football club for giving me that opportunity to play in that level.
How big is the jump for the SPL to Champions League?
Massive. It's massive.
What's better about the players? Just the movement?
Everybody's so much sharper. They're a lot quicker in their mind, their brain. You know, I remember we played against Barcelona as well in the last 16 of Champions League, and I felt as if I was playing against 15 or 16 players, just the way they kept the ball. And the better the players, that I've played against in my career, they do the basics better than anybody else. And everybody always thinks you need to do something different and something out of this world to be world class. But the world class players do the basics better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. That Man U home game, what a night. Did you think you could beat them going into the game?
I felt as if that we knew at home that we had a chance against them. We knew we had to have rode with luck. We knew that Marcel and Bobo had to play really well. We knew Arthur had to play really well. Lenny and Stan in front of us had to play really well, and you needed to carry a wee bit of luck in the final third as well, and that's the way the game panned out. But we always believed against anybody at Parkhead at home that we would beat anybody at Celtic Park.
Naka's goal, absolutely belted.
Unbelievable.
Were you standing right behind it?
Right behind it. And I remember that night after that, I remember looking at the clock every single 30 seconds and it never moved.
Really?
Because it was you're just holding on and holding on. And then when they then get the penalty, you're saying, I don't believe us. This is just the end of the world for us. And then Big Arthur being Big Arthur, he was absolutely, as a guy, he was incredible, you know. But as a goalkeeper at that time, the season before that and that season, I didn't think there was a better goalkeeper in European football.
He was great with 2 feet, he had everything down.
He was unbelievable and he was absolutely bonkers. Because I remember actually, I remember the next day, and I remember at that point we used to do, instead of an ice bath, we'd done contrasting baths, so it was one hot bath, one cold bath, and you kind of done that. You remember what the dressing rooms were like at the park at that time, you know, you had the dressing room, then you had the boot room and the shower area, and there was two baths. Uh-huh. So it was two baths and sitting there. So I had finished my ice bath and my hot bath kind of thing. Everybody was kind of aware, so I thought at that time. So I goes in, I runs a bubble bath for myself, kind of, and puts a shower gel in, puts a tap on. And I'm kind of sitting, goes in the bath, which is fine. I remember shutting my eyes and I'm lying in the bath and I'm just trying to take everything in, you know. I'm thinking, I can't believe this. I've come through here. I've been here as a kid. Been here for such a lot. I felt as if I've had to work so hard to get to where I was, just to get break into the first team. And because I was just reflecting on absolutely everything. Then all I heard was, tsh! And I kind of turns around, there's Big Arthur lying in the bath next to me with a can of Carling. Drinking a can of Carling. 11 o'clock in the morning.
Brilliant.
Then I looked down, the big man's done two or three cans, and that's him.
Do you think he'd been on it all night?
I have no idea, but he was absolutely brilliant. He was brilliant. And even now, when you can see the success he's had since he's left, going to Fiorentina, Southampton, Bournemouth, and a real, not everybody got on with him as well, but I got on really, really well with him. Terrific guy and a top goalkeeper.
Was it just every day he would do something off the cuff of her?
He was
late all the time, wasn't he?
He was late. He decided if he didn't want to save somebody's shots, I think he went about 2 years without diving for one of wee Aiden's shots, which just, just absolutely mental. Brilliant. And he was always, he was very much part of the team. He made a couple of mistakes now and again, but he certainly made up for that, and more than any big game you can rely on Big Arthur to be there and pull you out of home.
Just back to the Man U game, because there was a bit of confusion at the end. You weren't really sure if you were through, but was it muted celebrations in the dressing?
It was, we were kind of under, because Tommy Gravison was the one that was going absolutely mental, saying, we've qualified, and everybody's kind of thinking, saying, if it had been anybody else that was telling us that, we would have believed it. But with Tommy, you kind of never knew if he was telling the truth. Yeah. And lo and behold, we'd qualified, and I said to you earlier, you need that wee bit of luck, you know. I think we qualified in 9 points, and then when you look at Martin O'Neill's teams, they went out in 9 points, so we were lucky that we rode that wee bit of luck in the games as well. But we worked hard for it, and we had earned, we always felt we had earned it, so it was terrific times.
In the last 16, AC Milan, how do you look back over the two games? So close, eh?
So close, you know, and there was pivotal moments in the games, you know. I think we had an opportunity. I think somebody had a shot and it might have hurt Maldini's hand at the time. Yeah. And that then Kaká went up the park and scored. So just great occasions to be involved at that special time. You know, I said to you earlier about being a part of a Celtic team. I didn't just want to become a Celtic player. I wanted to be a Celtic regular. I wanted to contribute. I wanted to play in successful Celtic team, and you only do that when you play with good players, and certainly I was fortunate enough to play with good players.
Why do you think the first team, obviously in Champions League, now struggle? What did that team that you played in have that got them the last 16s and big nights at Parkhead?
I think the Celtic team just now, I think, is more than good enough to qualify for the last 16. I think Brendan's done a terrific job with the players that he's brought in, with staff, I think the players are real good players as well. Kieran Tierney for me is probably the best young kid I've ever seen coming through at Celtic. Bruni's took his game to a whole new level in the last 3 or 4 seasons. I think a lot of the times you need to be lucky with the draw as well. You know, I think when Celtic's draw last year was a difficult group. And I think the standard, the level the teams are spending money now
The standard's got better.
And the standard's getting better as well. And Celtic have always, they're always going to have the restrictions bringing players in. But they're brilliant occasions, you know. I mean, you look at, like say, they're competing in the Champions League more or less every year, and it's harder now to get into it. When we won the league, we played one qualifier at times, whereas Celtic are playing three qualifiers. It's hard going for them.
You won the league and the cup comfortably that year. Yeah. How good a feeling is that, winning the league and the cup?
Brilliant. And like I say, that's getting back to that. It's easier doing it when you're playing with top players and proper winners. Like we were at that point, there was leaders all within, and I always think leaders always produce leaders, kind of thing as well, you know. And the manager drove us between Gordon, Gary Pendry, Jim Blythe, and Tam Burns. You know, I think Tam Burns, Tommy played a massive part on it. You know, there wasn't a day that you'd come into training and you never laughed. At that time, we brought in Paul Hartley and Stephen Presley. We used to do a shooting exercise, and every day without fail, Tam Burns used to call them the Malafiefs because they came for us. And it was even small things like that. Tommy's delivery and absolutely everything
one-liners
was just absolutely incredible. And like I say, he's been a massive part of any young kid that's come through in that era. Mm-hmm. Tommy played a massive part in everybody's development, because I certainly believe probably the best signing Gordon made,
and Tommy,
he'll probably tell you that himself, it would have been Tommy.
Brilliant.
It would have been Tommy.